Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. Wanted to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. The scripture says this, "As he, Jesus, was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." We want to talk today about this question, how's the fishing? How are you doing with the command from the Lord to be his witnesses? Hey, he's going to make us fishers of men, but the truth of the matter is you can't catch any fish, you can't catch any men if you don't throw out a line, if you don't throw out the nets. And Christmas time is such a great time to talk to people about spiritual things. Well, my guest this morning is a man who is well-skilled and a faithful fisherman, Pastor Jerry Lawson, the pastor of Enon Presbyterian Church, and he has been using the buttons from American Family Association that say Jesus, they're Christmas buttons, Jesus, he came for you, Merry Christmas, and then Jesus, our living hope, and it says Merry Christmas, and wristbands also, keeping Christ in Christmas, a great way to start a spiritual conversation in December. Pastor Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Brother Jeff, enjoy being here.
Well, thank you, my friend. So tell me how you got involved, because you've been doing this for a long time now. Tell me how you got involved with the Christmas buttons from American Family Association.
Well, it was about 20 years ago this war on Christmas began, and it kind of frustrated me, but rather than getting frustrated, I thought, Lord, there's got to be something, a tool, some way to engage this conversation on Christmas. And that's when Brother Wileman came up with this idea, God inspired, that these buttons, and I think a lot of people kind of laughed at him when he talked about Christmas buttons, but it's amazing what these Christmas buttons have accomplished. But Brother Jeff, you know, it's God who engages us. Now, he can inspire me to engage those people around me. And as you said earlier, we're his witness. And these Christmas buttons are a witness to Christ in your life.
Amen. Yeah, Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Every Christian is a witness. And Jerry, as you know, and we're either a good, effective witness for the Lord, or we're not very effective for the Lord. And some of us, if we finish the fishing analogy, you're not going to catch any fish if you don't throw your net in the water. You have to engage. And one of the things about the Christmas buttons, they're available, you can get 20 of them for $10, resources.afa.net. One of the things about wearing that button is that is a witness all by itself, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, in John chapter 4, the woman at Jacob's well, this conversation that Jesus engages with her, he's got something that she doesn't have, and that's the living water that we all need. And there is a line in there where she says to Jesus, well, when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. And when Jesus looks at her and says, I who speaks to you am he. And that just blows me away. It was Christ that came to me, and it's Christ that says, now, Jerry, you are to be a witness, and you're to go to others. And these Christmas buttons, Jesus, he came for you. Jesus, our living hope. Jesus is just what these people are looking for out there that do not know him.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, would you say that as it relates to spiritual gifts, that your spiritual gift is evangelism?
I was the shyest person in the world growing up. The Lord called me into the ministry when I was 14, and I was required to take a speech class, and my parents went to the school board and said, Jerry cannot speak before people, and God would not allow the school board to release me from that speech class. And so I look back now, and everything that I have experienced, good and bad, God has been shaping and molding. And when people go fishing, they don't catch fish every day, but you don't get discouraged. You go back. And then there's those moments when you go from joy to great joy in Scripture. And those are the moments that make fishing worthwhile.
Amen. And, you know, I think one of the things I learned, Jerry, a while back, many, many years ago, actually, is we plant seeds. That doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily be the person that is going to pray with that individual to receive Christ. We're planting seeds along the way, and we're links in the chain of this person coming to know Jesus. And if you think about your own life and your own testimony, it probably wasn't just one person that told you about Jesus. It was probably a series of people that God used. And so share a little bit about your experiences with that, because I know God has used you to be that person, to help somebody across the finish line, so to speak, but then also to plant seeds.
Well, several years back, I was in Washington, D.C. at a meeting. I was at the harbor, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be in that meeting, and I get up, and I walk out into this huge atrium, and I'm standing there thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? And this man comes up to me, and he speaks to me, and he says, you're Jerry Lawson. And I said, yes, do I know you? And he said, no, but you've been praying to God for a track. And I said, I have been. And he said, here it is. And he gave me a track, and he turned around, and he walked away. And I keep those tracks with me everywhere I go. And people will come up, and I can tell they don't know Jesus Christ. And I'll give them that track, and I'll tell them, now, the Lord tells me to tell you this. In 2 weeks, something's going to happen in your life, and you're going to know that God gave you this track. So don't throw it away. And then I pray with them, and I walk away. Now it's up to God to do something in their life in 2 weeks that brings that track back out. And I've had many people call me up and say, well, you were right. Let me tell you what happened. It's all in God's hands.
Yes. Now, Jerry, it seems to me that when it comes to the average person in the pew, when we talk about witnessing, they get convicted because they know, oh, I'm not very good at that. And it seems that the biggest reason why people don't open their mouths is fear. So how do you encourage people to get over the fear of starting a spiritual conversation?
Well, to me, overcoming fear starts with your love of God and your study of God's Word. I was telling Buddy Smith here this morning, when I got up, I thought, Lord, do you know how busy it's been here lately? And he says, yes, Jerry, I know exactly how busy it's been. And I've got everything, in this universe under control today. So I just want to come and spend the day with you. And then all of a sudden I think, hey, I want to spend the day with you too. It all starts with your love of God.
Well, can you tell us a story, maybe recent or maybe over those 20 years, that really stands out to you from wearing that pin and engaging in conversation? Maybe somebody asked you about it, but something that would encourage our listeners to get these pins, afaresources.afa.net, and then start wearing them.
Friday night, I had a man come up to me, and He said, "You don't know me." And I said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "3 years ago, you gave me one of these Christmas buttons." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Last year, when you were passing them out, you offered me a button. And I told you, I left my button at the house on my dresser. And do you remember what you told me?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, you told me to put the dresser in the back of my truck and take it with me." And he said, "I was looking for you this year, and I just," and he opened up his coat, and there was his Christmas button. But was looking to tell me he's now wearing his Christmas button everywhere he goes. Just it's things like that that happen all of the time. God's got a great, wonderful, large family out there. They just got their light under a basket.
Yeah, that's true. Well, okay, so you go about the Christmas button campaign. You wear one, and then you have a lot that you're handing out. Is that right?
My pockets are full right now.
All right, and so then walk us through a scenario. How would you, Jerry goes to, he goes to the grocery store. You got your buttons on, and you got buttons in your pocket. So let's say you're just walking through the store buying stuff. How do you engage somebody with those buttons?
Brother Jeff, 60 minutes ago, I walked into the Dodge store here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And when I walked in, the lady looked at me behind the cash register, and she said, "Sir, how are you doing today?" I said, "I would be doing a lot better if you would do something for me." And she said, "What can I do for you that's not illegal or immoral?" I pulled a Christmas button out and said, "You've got that red blazer on. If you'll put this green button on, I would appreciate that." I mean, she wanted to give me a hug and a kiss. And before I left the Dodge store, every employee in there wanted a Christmas button. So if you go by the Dodge store, you're going to see the red and green Christmas buttons today here in Tupelo.
Have you had any that get angry with you for talking to them about Christmas and Jesus?
20 years ago in Washington, D.C., I went to hand a button to a man that was opening the door of all these limousines going into this restaurant. And I offered him a button, and he says, "I don't believe in Jesus." And I said, "Well, you certainly got that freedom. But," I said, "one day you will believe in Jesus."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did he respond to that?
He didn't have anything to say. And I have prayed and prayed that he would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yeah. But over the 20 years, he's the only person that I've had that refused a button. Everyone else is thrilled to get them, and it thrills me to see people put them on immediately.
Yeah, that's exciting. So the impetus behind all this was 20 years ago, this war on Christmas, you said, "I can do something to make a difference here and join with Don Wildman, wear these buttons and pass them out." Obviously, that didn't just come from you. That was a Holy Spirit birthed desire in your heart.
Jesus Christ drew my attention to, I guess it was Bill O'Reilly that first made that statement that there is a war on Christmas out there, and it caught my attention. And I didn't know that people were being told they couldn't say Merry Christmas or, you know, Christ bless you or whatever. And that, it just caused me some anxiety. It stuck with me, and it was a seed that the Lord sprouted, and I started praying, "Well, what can I do to push back in my own small way?" And that's when American Family Radio and AFR and AFA, they started promoting these buttons, and good gracious, I've probably cost AFA an awful lot of money passing out buttons, because they have blessed me with so many of them.
Yeah. So how many buttons do you think you've passed out over the last 20 years?
Well, it would be in the tens of thousands. It wouldn't be 100,000. But this year I'm approaching 1,200 buttons that I've passed out, and we're just getting started.
Wow, how exciting. So you can get your button, go to resources.afa.net, 20 buttons for $10, free shipping through Friday. Pastor Jerry, thank you so much for being my guest today. And God bless you, my brother. You've encouraged me to make sure I got my nets in the water to become an effective fisherman for the Lord.
Well, Brother Jeff, if I don't meet you again down here in person, you look me up when we get to that celestial city so we can have a good conversation.
Amen. We'll do it. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about this question. How's the fishing? How's it going with this command from the Lord to be fishers of men? Follow me, he says, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, you know when you're following Jesus, when you're really following, you're not just saying you're following, but you're really following, that one of the byproducts of that is that you're fishing. And the Lord makes you become a fisher of men, as he said that to Peter and to his brother Andrew as they were fishing. Hey, leave those nets and come get some spiritual nets, and I'll make you become a fisher of men. Now, we talk about famous last words. Do you know the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven? Those are important words. They're recorded in Acts chapter 1. As Jesus was with his disciples, right before he ascended to heaven, they asked him this question. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? You know, their eschatology was all messed up. They had no idea that the Messiah was going to be God in the flesh. They said the Messiah is the son of David. Well, David is a human being. He's not God and man. And so they just thought the Messiah was going to be a political deliverer. And then they discovered Jesus, he didn't come in his first coming for that. But they knew that he was going to set up his kingdom, so they didn't know when. So it's like, okay, now he died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. We have believed in him. We know that he is both Lord and Christ, this Jesus that was crucified. And so they said, Lord, is it now that you're going to set up the kingdom? Is it now that Israel is going to be the head and not the tail? And so Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were 10 days out from receiving the Holy Spirit. This is 40 days. And on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit was going to come. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The word for witness is where we get our English word martyr. You shall be my martyrs, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And as you study the book of Acts, you'll find out where did the gospel, where did it originate? It originated in Jerusalem. The early church was there in Jerusalem. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and it was in Jerusalem. And then it went out to Samaria with Philip as he began to preach in Samaria. And then from Samaria, it went to the Gentiles, Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, and to the remotest parts of the earth with the missionary journeys of Paul. But here's the thing. After he said that, says in verse 9, and after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That was the last thing that is recorded that he said before he ascended to heaven. Now, he visited John on the island of Patmos many years later in the book of the Revelation in the 90s AD. This is the, you know, Jesus died in, from the best we can tell, April 3rd, 33 AD. So this is 40 days after Passover, 40 days after his resurrection. So many, many years after that, he appears to John. And he shares with him through the angel the book of the Revelation, and he speaks to John, and you'll find words in red there in the gospel, in the book of the Revelation. But this is the last thing he said before he ascended to heaven. It's important. What is our job on this earth? The job of a Christian is to be a faithful witness. Now, some years ago, almost 5 years ago now, I preached a sermon called The Exciting Life of a Witnessing Christian. Did you know that the Christian life is designed to be exciting? And for far too many of us, the Christian life gets kind of dull and humdrum. And one of the big reasons is because we're not sharing. We become the Dead Sea, where things flow into us, but they don't flow out. And we're not thinking about the command to be his witness. Now, the Lord doesn't tell us to be his faithful witness on our own. You shall receive power, he says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, I had in this sermon that I did some years ago, three key lessons to remember about being his witness. And Christmas time is such a great time to witness for the Lord. Why? Because people are thinking about Christmas, and they may not know what Christmas is about, and you can tell them. You know, with the old expression and the old saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. There's Christ in Christmas, and so we can talk to them about Jesus Christ. But in this message that I did some years ago, I said, why do we do this? And how can you overcome the fear that we all have? Hey, I have it too. The fear to start a spiritual conversation and to be that faithful witness that God has called you to be. Well, first of all, you can know why we do it. Why do we witness? Well, it's because witnessing is the passion of the Lord's heart. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bear witness to the truth, to testify to the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so it's the passion of his heart because he loves us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But not only is it his passion, it's his command. He commands us to witness, to tell other people. Here's the thing that's really interesting if you think about it. During Jesus' earthly ministry, remember, he would do a lot of miracles for people, and then he would say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. You say, why is that? Well, because his hour had not yet come. So he didn't, everything was on a divine timetable. And when he presented himself to Israel was at Palm Sunday. And that's when he received all the accolades that you are the Messiah. Hosanna. Save, Lord, we beseech thee. That's what that word means. Hosanna to the Son of David. Remember, the Pharisees got mad. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he wouldn't do it. If these don't express their praise, the rocks will cry out. So it was his time to present himself to Israel. But before that, it wasn't. And so he would do a miracle and he'd tell the people, don't tell anybody. And what would they do? They would disobey and tell everybody. And then when he rises from the dead, now go tell everybody, he says, be my witnesses, tell everybody what has happened, share that I've risen from the dead and that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we don't tell anybody because we're afraid. And so we got to get past the fear. I love the title from a book. I never read this book, but I remember the title, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And so we have to take that step. Now, as we've been talking about these Christmas buttons from American Family Association, resources.afa.net, that's a great opportunity. You just wear that button. You're wearing a witness. And people will ask you about it. And if you do what Pastor Jerry is doing, you hand those buttons out, that's a great way to start a spiritual conversation. You know, I've shared this before, but I've found that when you go to a restaurant, engaging with your server and talking to your server and saying before the meal, hey, we're going to pray before we eat. Is there anything that we can pray about for you? And they may say no, I've yet to have somebody get offended. I've had people tell me, no, I'm fine. And so it's okay. But others, sometimes they really open up. I had one lady open up and said, yeah, you can pray for me. I've lost two children in the last 6 months. Two little children. One died of SIDS and one drowned. And I was just overcome with emotion when she was telling me that. And we ended up befriending her and inviting her to church. And our counselor, Ada Ferguson, was able to lead her to faith in Christ. And it all triggered off that one question. Is there anything I can pray about for you? Hey, you can do that. You can get those buttons. You can wear those buttons. You can hand out those buttons. We witness because it's the passion of his heart, because it's the command of his lips, and because it's the only hope for humanity. We have, as Christians, we have what every single person needs, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What is Christmas? The angels told the shepherds, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. A-L-L. Everyone needs to hear this good news. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you, every single person, for you. I read that again this morning. I said, Jesus, you came for me. There was a Savior born for me, who is Christ the Lord. And that is good news, because he's a Savior for all. And so he's the only hope for humanity. And so that is why we witness. Now, how do you do it? How do you witness? Well, it's done two ways. We always talk about on this program, shine and share. You witness by your life, you witness by your lips. It's not either or, it's both and. And so if your life doesn't match up, if you're talking to people about Jesus, but your life is a total shambles and you're not living and walking in the light, well, that's hypocrisy. People are turned off by that. And so you have to get yourself to walk in the light with Jesus. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you're genuine, and you have to genuinely be seeking the Lord. Now, we all stumble and fall, but here's what you do. You don't stay down. A righteous man, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a righteous man falls seven times. And what does he do? Does he stay down? No, he rises again, and we keep getting up. And 1 John 1:9, I was introduced to that verse as a young Christian, and my friend Gary Ayler, who is a pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church, not the pastor, but one of the pastors, he called 1 John 1:9 the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the way we live, we are living to seek the Lord and to walk in his ways. And so that's the shine, our lives, so people can see the way we act, the way we react, that we're serious, that we've been spending time with Jesus. Because as you spend time with Jesus, he changes your life. So that's your shine. And then you share, you open your mouth, your lips. Now, here's something very, very important, because at Christmas time, we can see relatives that we don't normally see. What you don't want to do with family, and family are the hardest to witness to, what you don't want to do with family is do too much sharing. Between shine and share, you want to share once and shine continually. Because if you keep sharing with brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, mom, dad, whatever it is, if you keep sharing, to them, it feels like you're cramming Jesus down their throat. They're not ready. You're trying to pull a piece of fruit off the tree, and it's not ready. It's green. You know, when fruit is ripe, it comes off the tree very quickly. But when it's not ripe, you have to really try and yank it off, and then you can't eat it because it's not ripe. It's not ready. And so don't do that. Don't do too much sharing. Do lots of shining. Let them see Jesus, as it says in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin, and they were boldly sharing. It says, and they recognized them as having been with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him is on your life, and people will know. Now, they're not going to tell you. This is something I've found. They won't tell you that, but they'll notice it. and they mark it down. They make a mental note about you, and your shine makes such a difference. So with family and with people you've shared with before, don't just keep preaching at them. Once you share, then shine, shine, shine. So that's how you do it, shine and share. And witnessing is done by telling your story and his story. What's your story? Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac, he had been delivered from the legion of demons, and he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go home to your people and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And that man went to the 10 cities, the 10 Gentile cities of the Decapolis, and he shared everywhere what Jesus had done for him, because Jesus is Lord. And all the people marveled. That was his story. He had a great testimony. I was inhabited by a legion of demons. I was the guy that was living among the tombs. I was the guy that was so violent, so dangerous, nobody could pass there, and nobody could bind me even with a chain. He had a great story to tell. Hey, you have a great story to tell too. You know, we like to hear those sensational testimonies, but the fact of the matter is, most people aren't like that. They're not like the Gadarene demoniac. They can't relate to that. They can relate to being just a regular guy, regular girl, and growing up in church, but being lost. And maybe that's your testimony. I was lost for so many years, but then it dawned on me and God opened my eyes. Maybe somebody witnessed to me. Maybe somebody like Jerry Lawson had a Christmas pin and talked to me about Jesus, and I realized that he came for me and I needed to be saved, and I asked Jesus to save me, and it became real. Maybe that's your testimony. Hey, that resonates with lots of people. So you share your story and you share his story. What's his story? His story is the gospel, that Jesus left the throne of heaven, that he became a man, that he suffered and bled and died on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And they put him in a tomb. He was dead, but he didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day. And the veil of the temple, when he died and said, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It's been paid in full. Your sins have been paid in full through the blood of the Lamb, and all you have to do is bow your knee and receive Christ. He's done all the work. You just receive him. That's his story. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking about fishing. How's it going in the fishing department? Because Jesus said, "We shall be fishers of men." Now, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about fishing. Jesus said when we follow him, he'll make us become fishers of men. And he told us that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be his witnesses. That is our purpose on this earth. earth. Obviously, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest act of love that you can do is to share the truth with somebody. Somebody who's on the highway to hell, you share with them the wonderful news that a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And he's come for you, and he died on the cross for you, and he rose again from the dead for you. And let me just encourage you, if you need some help, as we all do, resources.afa.net, you can get 20 of these Christmas buttons, Jesus, He Came For You, Merry Christmas, and Jesus, Our Living Hope, Merry Christmas. One is red and one is green. Also, wristbands, Keep Christ in Christmas. But 20 buttons for $10, free shipping through Friday. And as we had Jerry Lawson, Pastor Jerry Lawson, on the program earlier, he's given out tens of thousands of these, and God uses him every day. And it makes life exciting when you're sharing Christ, because you're engaging with people. And the more you engage with people, the more you get outside of yourself. And the less you think of self. See, being a humble person is not somebody who thinks poorly of himself. A humble person is someone who doesn't think about himself. He's thinking about others. You know, what is true joy? Joy. Jesus first, others second, you last. If you'll live that way, you'll experience the joy of the Lord. So this is a great way to share your faith this Christmas time and all the days of the year, because we have something great to share. Now, for Christmas, wanted to do a little giveaway today. And so for the last, I think it's the last 10 years, I've participated with 50 other pastors in writing a devotional. And it's 52-week devotional, and I write a week in the devotional. And this year's devotional book is called God's Mercy, Grace, and Compassion, My Daily Devotional. And it's every day of the week, and it's a little word of encouragement, scripture, encouragement from the Word, and a reflection and a prayer. And I would love to give this away to three people who are listening. Here's how you can enter this contest. Doesn't cost you anything. We'll just send it to you. This makes for a great Christmas gift, God's Mercy, Grace, and Compassion. And incidentally, tonight at 4:45, I'll be at our church, First Baptist Texarkana. We're going to do a book signing, and we're going to have a library open house and a book signing. We have wassail and some Christmas goodies, and I'll be there and love to shake your hand and sign a book for you. These books are $20, but we're going to give three away today, and here's how you can enter the contest. Just send your name and mailing address to book@fromhisheart.org. That's book, B-O-O-K. at fromhisheart.org, and we'll have a drawing for three names, and we'll send you one of these beautiful, it's a beautiful book, it's really well done, well made, makes for a great gift, God's Mercy, Grace, and Compassion, and that comes from Psalm 86, verse 15. It says, learn to know better the Lord who is, quote, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. That's our God. Now, one of the things you'll notice from that verse, Psalm 86, 15, all that comes from what the Lord told Moses. When Moses said, Lord, I pray, show me your glory. And Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Such an important passage of Scripture, because as you remember, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. That's what the Lord did for Moses. He put him in the cleft of the rock. He said, Moses, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live, but I will show you the edges of my glory, the backside of my glory. And that's what he did. He put Moses there in the cleft of the rock. He covered that with his hand, and he passed by, and he proclaimed his name, because his glory is who he is. And he said, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God. And then he gives his resume, so to speak, compassionate and gracious. slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And how did Moses respond to God revealing himself to Moses and getting to see his glory? He fell on his face and worshiped. Now you'll find that those characteristics of God are repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. That's who God is. You've heard me say before, God is not the God you want him to be. He is the God who is. I am who I am, he told Moses at the burning bush, at Exodus 3 and 4, the encounter with Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. Moses asked the question, hey, I go to the children of Israel, and they're going to say, who sent you? And what should I say? And God said, you tell them, I am who I am. You tell them, I am has sent you. Yahweh, that's where we get the name Yahweh. It's from I am and the verb to be. And that's who God is, and that's the God we get to worship. So let me just encourage you again, God's mercy, grace, and compassion. We have that drawing. So just send your name and mailing address to book@fromhisheart.org, and we'll get that to you. Now we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about witnessing. We've been talking about fishing, and we have to get our nets in the water. You know, that's how they fished in the New Testament times. They didn't throw in a line per se, although they did that too. But Peter and James and John, they were in the fishing business together. They would throw out these big, heavy nets, and it was a big deal to throw out the nets. Luke chapter 5, they had been fishing all night and caught nothing, and Jesus preaches, and then he says to Peter, throw out your nets in the deep water for a catch. Well, that's not a minor thing to do. That's a major thing to do, and Peter didn't want to do it. He said, Master, we've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. The time to fish is at night, not during the day. This isn't the time to fish. And so, Jesus, you're a great preacher. You're a great theologian. I'm better at fishing than you are. But he says, but Lord, at your word, I'll do it. Even though I don't think this is a very good idea, I think this is a waste of time, and it's a lot of effort to do that, to throw the nets out there. But at your bidding, at your word, I will do it. And if you remember this, the account in Luke chapter 5, he caught so many fish that it almost sunk two boats. The Lord knows what he's doing, and we just need to obey him. We need to say with Peter, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to do what you say. At your word, I will do it. 888-589-8840. We have Robin from Virginia on the line. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas. Pastor Shreves, it's always an honor and pleasure to be able to talk to you briefly. So thank you for all that you do to help encourage each of us to shine and share. I have one short experience.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny because I love what you said about it's always exciting every day when we're going to risk saying something to someone. Mm-hmm. I have a good friend who tends to do that every day. He will bring up, his name is Otis, but he'll bring up a certain thing that he wants to, you know, to see if that person has that experience or not. And then it's an open door. Whatever he asks, you know, I'm not going to go into it. But he's wonderful about being wanting to ask people about, do you know Jesus? So I was at a gas station convenience store, and I'm in training for a new job. And I saw a gentleman younger than me waiting at the counter for his food. But I wanted to be friendly just because that's how I'm trying to bring back being friendly and kind in the marketplace, right, wherever you are in retail stores. And I said, have a good day and Merry Christmas. But I wasn't on the clock. I wasn't being paid for being friendly. And then I noticed his sweatshirt. It had a black background with some white designs, like a broken heart down the middle. And something said on his sweatshirt. He had the hoodie up. And I thought, well, he didn't look like he was wanting to be approached because he didn't really turn. And when I said, I like your sweatshirt, and I noticed it had angels and demons, the names and the heart was broken. And he turns and he smiles at me really big. He goes, I designed it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I said, you know Jesus, don't you? And he got this huge smile on his face. He goes, yes, I do. And so he was so much younger than me. And because something the Holy Spirit prompted me to compliment him on his sweatshirt, I had no idea that he had designed it. And I said, that is so awesome. And I said, Merry Christmas. And he turned and he walked away and he said, Merry Christmas to you too. So sometimes just recharging the batteries between other Christians can help us be bolder about approaching someone, even if they look a little unapproachable, you know?
Right. That's a great word, Robin. And sometimes the people that are the most unlikely, you know, we look at them and say, well, they wouldn't want to hear the gospel. You know, people like that can know that they're lost. That's 90% of the battle, to know that you're lost. And if you know that you're lost, it's not a long way to go to be saved. One preacher used to say, you got to get folks lost in order to be saved. They have to understand that they're separated from God. When I got saved, it was when God opened my mind to understand, hey, I'm lost. I'm on the highway to hell. I talked to this one guy one time when I was in college. I said, if you were to die, do you know where you would go? He said, yes, I would go to hell because of the way I lived. And I immediately thought, hey, you're not far from the kingdom. Because once you understand that, then, hey, I got some good news to share with you. The good news is only good news if you believe the bad news. And the bad news is you're not right with God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Dick Van Dyke was saying just the other day, he's getting ready to turn 99 on Friday. And he said, I know I could die at any moment, but I'm not afraid of dying. And he said, that doesn't make sense, but I'm not afraid. Now, I don't know where Dick Van Dyke is spiritually. Hopefully he's a believer. But if he's not, then the devil has done a number on him, thinking, oh, you're okay as you are, because people are not okay. And once they can figure that out, hey, I'm not okay, I'm in trouble, I'm in serious trouble, I'm a sinner before God, then they're very receptive to the good news. So I appreciate that, Robin. Great word. Thanks for calling in. We have Joanne on the line from North Carolina. Joanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I just had to call you and tell you about an experience I had, which is so true to what you're talking about this morning. We have always a family gathering, and at that gathering was my great niece, and she and her family are not into church, and I asked her. She was concerned about what she was going to do when she graduates from high school, and I said, well, why don't you just pray about it and let God lead you? And she went home and she said, Joanne's a quack. She needs to see a psychiatrist. Well, a year or two later, she went to her mother or to her grandmother and said, you know what? I think Joanne's okay. I like her. She says, I want a Bible. I want to start reading the Bible. And she's a changed young person. If that's all I said, just why don't you pray about it? So your message is right on the mark. And I had no idea that what I was saying to her would change her life, but it did.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share.
Yeah, that's a great word, Joanne. Yeah, you might say something that you don't think is any kind of earth-shattering message, but your shine, your share can make a big, big difference. And remember this too, especially at work. People are watching you. If you name the name of Christ, if you let them know you belong to Jesus, that you're a follower of Jesus, they're watching you to see if you're genuine. Not perfect, because people know that there's nobody perfect. The only perfect person who ever lived was Jesus, and we nailed him to a tree. They know you're not perfect, but they want to see you as authentic and genuine. Hey, when you mess up, you fess up, you make things right. If you have a coworker that you get into an argument with or something like that, and you know the it's kind of icy and difficult between you and them, make it right with them. And say, hey, I'm sorry for my part in this. You know, I shouldn't have said what I said, and please forgive me. That goes a long, long way. And so God can use, he can use us as we witness, as we wear a Christmas button, as we shine, as we share, as we let people know that we're praying for them. And as we do it, as we do pray for them, and as we let them know that, hey, Jesus does love you, and he is the reason for the season. And you know what's awesome? He came, Luke chapter 2, he came to this earth for you. I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. That includes you. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. For you, shepherds, the lowest of the low. For you, who is Christ the Lord. What a great thought. Well, I'm sorry, Lee from Texas, we ran out of time. But listen, if you want to be included in the giveaway for God's Mercy, Grace, and Compassion, my daily devotional, just submit your name and address to the following email, book@fromhisheart.org. That's book@fromhisheart.org. And you may win, and we would love to send you an autographed copy of this devotional. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.